A62. Number 23A.
We go further to the sixth edition. That edition, main edition, that sixth main edition, which is the 50th edition in the counting of the actual edition of Science and Health, in 1891 was a terrific revolution for the whole presentation of the subject of Christian Science. Mrs. Eddy changed the whole textbook, rearranged each chapter, rearranged the order of the chapter, wrote a new chapter, Science, Theology and Medicine. And in regard to animal magnetism, really changed the whole tone of how to deal with animal magnetism. You know, she had been away. She went away from Boston, from all the turmoil of Boston, into solitude, and sought to work out in solitude a higher sense of Christian Science, and came out with this new edition in which suddenly that whole warfare between the dragon and the woman was left out of the text. That warfare was no more mentioned, and so the dragon was eliminated. All the references to the maliciousness of animal magnetism were omitted. The term demonology was omitted. So you can see she took, so to say, the sting of animal magnetism out of the text and omitted it and replaced it by something very different. Namely, now you get a terrific change, so to say, from the metaphysical standpoint to the standpoint of science, where she certainly treated the subject of animal magnetism from the point of view of truth as a synonymous term. Here it is now that she is asking more or less now, truth is true, and only that what comes from truth is true, and all the rest is not true. That which comes from truth is real, and all the rest is not real. And so for the first time she began to stress in this chapter really the unreality of animal magnetism, the supposititious nature of animal magnetism. It was no more just animal magnetism, but it was now a suppositional lie, and began to see for the first time in this edition that terrific great marginal heading, the genus of error. She defined animal magnetism as generic error, just as error, bluntly, full stop, and no more as a kind of influence or psychic power or a power of mortal mind or anything like that. Now suddenly she began to see that actually animal magnetism is just generically error, which is devoid of truth, she says, which is devoid of truth. Naturally, you can see that up to this point she was dealing with animal magnetism as if it were something that you have to deal with. And only now she comes up and says, you know, actually, there is nothing, animal magnetism is not something you have to deal with. What you have to see is that all is truth, and that what does not come from truth is an error, and that is animal magnetism, which naturally made animal magnetism in a way much bigger. You see? Because instead of feeling animal magnetism is just some kind of a tricky thing that may happen from time to time, she showed that animal magnetism is all over the place, that animal magnetism actually is the supposition that there could be error. So, also the epigraph that she had was changed. Instead of those epigraphs about the dragon and the woman, she put in now a typical epigraph for truth, which was reading, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Here now she could see truth is that which is working along the line of truth, and that we should not have any fellowship with evil, not do evil, and therefore reprove them or deny it. We have a great sense of truth has to be affirmed and error has to be denied, the affirmation and denial process of error. And at that point, naturally, we can expect it, she changed that unique rendering of which I was telling you, the occult science of mind. She changed that rendering in that sentence where that appeared into Christian science. At the point of truth, where we deduce everything from truth and therefore has the revelation and the light of truth, there is now no more any occult or darkened sense of the whole problem. The epigraph was that way, that she said that we should not have fellowship with the unfruitful work of darkness. It was no more occult. It was now brought to the front, was brought to consciousness to see actually we handle animal magnetism by doing right. It is no more fighting animal magnetism, which was the method of getting rid of animal magnetism. Now it is a completely different sense, namely by doing right we handle doing wrong, and doing wrong is actually the genus of error or animal magnetism, so that's all there is. Now naturally we can see that in this way we find out that everything is animal magnetism which is not in line with truth. So ignorance about the truth is animal magnetism, not being aligned with spirit is therefore animal magnetism, not putting first things first in our life is animal magnetism, and we begin to feel that animal magnetism is actually a much bigger subject than it was ever conceived of. Everything that is not in line with truth is animal magnetism. But also we could see that animal magnetism is therefore nothing outside of us which we have to oppose or which opposes us, but that animal magnetism is so to say within us, within our misunderstanding truth. Well, can you hear now the complete different tonality within this new edition? Then, 1902, she made the last big change. Actually, when I say the last big change, it doesn't mean that after 1902 she didn't make various changes, but there were changes where she perhaps just changed, say, one synonymous term into another, or where she changed just a sentence, or perhaps a term within a sentence. This happened naturally also afterwards, so that these changes went on until 1910. But the main change was in 1902, where she put the chapters of the textbook in the final order as we have it today. Up to that point, the order of the chapter did not show forth order, because they were not ordered according to the 4x4. And at that moment, in 1902, she did that. But also, in regard to the chapter Annual Magnetism, we can see there various changes that would take the subject from truth further to the point of love. Whereas in the sixth subject, she just showed that truth is really that which is true and real, and that the opposite of truth is unreal and untrue. In the seventh, she goes a step further and shows that that truth, which is real and true, has the nature of love, namely, is all in all. And that the opposite of truth, the unreal, the untrue, is nothing. So the additional tone which we have from that edition on is actually the accent on all or nothing. Is that clear? That change from life first to truth, just first showing we don't have anything to do with quarreling and opposing and fighting something outside of us. It's all a matter now of truth or consciousness. Animal magnetism is within us, namely misunderstanding what is truth. And so she depicts that truth is the real and the true, and that error is animal magnetism. And then comes love and says to that whole proposition, and now I go a step further and don't leave it as truth versus error. I go a step further and say truth is the all and only, and error is nothing. That's the additional point. And actually you can see that only in this way she would resolve really the whole question of animal magnetism to the point of nothingness, which she hadn't done up to that point. You see? We think when we read the textbook, as we have it today, we feel, well, Mrs. Eddy knew that all along and was stating that all along, but she didn't. It seems that she was much clearer on all the subjects of truth than she was on the subject of error. That truth flooded her consciousness very fully and with full effulgence at the point of discovery, but that it took her a lifetime, a lifelong work, to find out the nothingness of error. And that's why I like this historic review on her writings, because they show us how she must have struggled constantly to find out not what truth is, but what error is. And therefore, I feel also with us, sometimes we have the same difficulty, that truth seems to flood into our consciousness much more easily, and we accept it sometimes much more easily, but are baffled at the question of evil and the operation of evil, the phenomena of evil, the workings of evil, and just feel, golly, I really don't know why this should happen when truth is all. So that we, for ourselves, we may have that patience and consideration, really, to work this out. At that seventh edition, she changed the title. See, now animal magnetism becomes animal magnetism unmasked. It has now been seen as what it is. You see the touch of love, huh? Now it's unmasked. Whereas, actually, what I said is wrong, just a little bit wrong. First, she called it animal magnetism uncovered, and then she changed it in 1909 in animal magnetism unmasked. Right before that time, before she changed the chapter, she had written that little notice in which is called What Our Leader Says, in which she deals with the question of animal magnetism. It was written in 1899, just before she changed it in the textbook. And it already proclaimed, so to say, what would be coming, namely that whole tone of truth and love, where she said that keep your minds full with truth and love, so that sin, sickness, and death cannot enter. See, here she was suddenly seeing, let's get away from metaphysics, from the metaphysical approach, let's go out from God, and therefore see that if we fill our consciousness with truth, that which is real, and see that that which is real is of the nature of love, namely all, therefore truth and love, that animal magnetism has no chance to manifest itself. Which would mean that from that point on she was dealing with animal magnetism not as a problem to be solved in a healing effort, but in a preventive effort, so that animal magnetism cannot arise. And she could see that this could only be done from the point of view of science, from truth and love. So that if we keep our consciousness constantly on the ball, on truth, and go out from the synonymous term and reason from the synonymous term, we really go out from the truth about everything, so that we never reason along the line of error, and in this way we fill our consciousness with truth so much that no error has room in it, and that's the point of love, where love is all and error is nothing. So here, really, the unreality now and the nothingness of evil is now stressed. Where we have, as she says, that we have no knowledge anymore of good and evil, where before she said always we should have a knowledge of good and evil. Up to that seventh main revision, she was asking that we should have our eyes open and never knowledge of good and evil. And now suddenly she goes that step further to love and says that we should have no knowledge of that dualistic sense of good and evil, and brings in that terrific statement about the maximum of good is God and his idea, the all in all. So within that context, really within that consciousness, animal magnetism has just no chance. When I was investigating those revisions, I was quite thrilled with the way that she unfolded that sentence. It's a pet sentence of me, that maximum of good is God and his ideas. But look how she must have thought things over again and again and again. For instance, on page 75 of my book, if you have it in front of you, 75, the last paragraph. There I show that another sentence from the sixth main edition, which now undergoes necessary correction, is this. See, in the sixth edition, she still had written, the maximum of good is always met by the maximum of suppositional evil. Can you see that she still saw there that there is truth and error, good and evil, and that the good is constantly met by a suppositional evil. It's already suppositional. That's her tone in the truth edition. But still you have here, as if truth and evil were still somehow opposing itself, warring with each other. Then, in 1902, that sentence was changed, as you see. It still started out, the maximum of good, however, is met by the maximum of suppositional evil, the fight to crush science. Now you can see here, she defines now that evil and says, actually, that animal magnetism is that which wants to fight science. You know, in the fifth benediction, it was the dragon against the woman, against the idea. Now, much later now, she shows that actually it is a warfare between error and science. And then, even again 7 years later, in 1909, she dropped even that last concession to a suppositional evil and wrote, the maximum of good is the infinite God and his idea. Can you see? Now she brings in what it is, that maximum of good. Now she defines it through love as God and his idea, the all in all. It's no more met by the maximum of evil. It's no more there to crush science. Evil is a suppositional lie. You see how sometimes just with one sentence one can see how her consciousness evolved and developed, just always getting purer and purer and higher until she could see animal magnetism is only a suppositional lie, but what is going on is always the infinite good, the maximum of good. As what? As God and his ideas, the all in all. Think that only in that last revision she put in that. Not even in the last revision, I said in 1909. Think of it, 1 year before she left us, she began to see how to handle, really, animal magnetism from the point of view of science. Now, if you think, how do we handle animal magnetism? Well, actually at the point of science, we handle it from that altitude. Namely, what John Dolley has introduced, that he has said, look here, everything that's going on is just mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And if you go out from the seven synonymous terms, and you know the seven synonymous terms through its idea, God and his ideas. Therefore, if your consciousness is in the realm of mind and mind's ideas, of spirit and spirit's ideas, of soul and soul's ideas, of principle and principle's ideas, of life, truth and love, as life, truth and love's ideas, what we have been doing over days and days this week, what have we been doing? That is the maximum of good, and there was only a suppositional lie left, where we always had the rule of thumb which says, therefore, there is no counterfeit. Can you see that what we are doing is actually picking up the way, the method of handling evil at that point of the last edition, which Mrs. Eddy only saw, 1909. And therefore, we can now understand the problem that I was telling you about, what I had at that time when I was preparing myself for that talk on that fifth chapter, that I felt so much is lacking, or so much, say, is missing in this chapter, which doesn't give us any information about how mortal mind works, how animal magnetism works, what are the symptoms of animal magnetism, what are the repercussions of animal magnetism, and all that stuff that we have in the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth main edition of the chapter. Only really when we approach the sixth and the seventh, we begin to feel that we are handling animal magnetism through science and no more through metaphysics. What does it mean? It means that up to the fifth revision, Mrs. Eddy tried to show the metaphysical handling of animal magnetism. You know, having an opponent with which to deal. Whereas with the sixth and seventh main edition, she doesn't show we have an opponent with which to deal. She shows that we have a truth which we entertain and entertain fully. There is no room for error to manifest itself. That's handling animal magnetism from the point of view of science. Yes? Isn't that a nice story? You don't say it, I have to say it, because it's a terrific story. Yes.